Okay. Thank you so much for joining me for this interview. I really appreciate it.
Sure. What else are you going to do for your research?
Well, we've been looking a lot online for websites and information on Jane, and I was thinking about arguing why abortion and Jane was an essential service for women in Chicago and women in general, especially with all the conflict over abortion laws and rights and birth control laws and rights, even now, you know, which is almost ridiculous to think, like, Roe v. Wade happened in the 70s and people are still arguing about the same topics today. So I just thought it was really important to, like, stress how essential the service was.
Right. What will you, who are you interviewing other people, or is there some other way? And what's the format? Are you going to do this as a video board, or what will you do?
We were hoping to create a website for our project. So we were just going to put all of our information and thesis onto a website for the finished project.
By the way, you know, there's a movie. There's several movies. One is She's Beautiful When Angry. One is the movie on my own organizing called Heather Booth, Changing the World. And there's a website for that. And there's the movie called Jane, An Abortion Story.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a more professionally done movie called Ask for Jane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just suggesting, if you want to create a website, maybe you could make links to those trailers for those various things. Might be interesting for people.
Yeah, I think my friend my partner for this project watched the Jane and Abortion Story documentary, and she said it was really interesting.
Uh-huh. Well, good.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask for later if you possibly had any pictures or pictures of the places that you worked, if you could send them possibly to my phone, since my email isn't accepting.
I don't have any pictures from Jane.
Uh-huh.
I have pictures from that era.
Yeah.
But no pictures from Jane.
Yeah, I figured it might have been harder to have pictures from Jane since it was more of a secretive service. But, yeah, anything that you think might be helpful.
I don't really know how to send a picture.
Oh, through the text?
By text. I only know how to send it by email.
I have a second email, a personal email. It's just letablades@gmail.com. No, like, weird numbers or anything. And that should accept an email from you.
Lita Blades.
Mm-hmm. And that should accept outside emails.
Okay, while we're talking, I'll see if I can send something.
Okay. And I think the first question that we wanted to ask was, when you first had the idea to start Jane, how did you find women to work alongside with you? Like, was there any process that you went through to find people to work with you and get them informed enough to start working with you?
You know, I'm going to actually go backwards before I come back to the question you asked.
Okay.
You know, what I thought of doing in part is what I learned from doing in the early civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
I was part of the civil rights movement. I had been part of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee in Chicago. And I also had worked in Mississippi in the Freedom Summer Project in 1964. And I mention that because it taught me organizing skills that I then have used for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So initially, when I started the connection of women to people to provide an abortion, that was someone approached me. It's before there was any conception of Jane or just my doing a good deed for one person. Mm-hmm. So the first point I'm making, and I think it's important for your report, is that the origins begin in the civil rights movement. The second point is that it started not as a full-fledged concept and project, but it was just a response to a friend who was pregnant and nearly suicidal. And so I just tried to find someone to provide an abortion for her. And the question you asked of how did I recruit people, it was several years into it when I realized I needed more people to do it. I was going to probably get out of providing the services myself. I was just too busy. And so at that point, I would go to meetings that I was normally going to and just said, if anyone wants to talk about, to do something about abortion, you should see me after the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recall if I did a lot of one-on-one recruitment. I just don't recall it. But I was involved in different social change groups, some women's groups, some groups working against the war in Vietnam, some student groups, some groups involved in social justice work in the community. And I'd go to those and I'd make the announcement. And then there were a few friends that I spoke to and asked them if they were interested. And a few of them also signed up. But mostly I got to know the people because they were in these other groups and said they were interested. And I then convened a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And when there were enough women who said that they'd be interested.
Yeah. And what sort of inspired you to start something like that? Like, why did this cause in particular stand out to you?
Well, again, what I was trying to explain is that, first of all, what really stood out for me was believing that we can have a society with freedom, democracy, and justice for all. And that led me into the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that general belief that we should try and build a better world for all people.
Yeah.
This was 1965. It was just the very beginning of the women's movement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember which came first or second, but I did set up the first campus women's organization, probably in the country,
mm-hmm.
a women's liberation group. So the women's movement was just starting then, and I was involved with it. But the way that I got involved with it really was by seeing it as a good deed. I saw it as sort of, you know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I never really faced the problem myself, but a friend was the sister of a friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
was pregnant, and he told me that she was thinking of committing suicide, that she just couldn't think of what else she could do.
Yeah.
She wasn't ready to have a child. And so I thought that sounded pretty horrible, and I would try and find someone who could help her. And so I found a doctor, Dr. T.R.M. Howard,
mm-hmm.
who made the arrangements with her. And then someone else called after word spread. And then when someone else called, as word spread again, I realized it was a real problem and we needed to set up a system.
Yeah.
But it was at a time when I was active on civil rights, on women's rights, on education and school issues, on the war in Vietnam. So I was active in many, many different issues. Mm-hmm. And I didn't exactly initially view it as political, separate from just being a good person, just trying to help someone else out who was in a desperate situation.
Yeah. And I couldn't really figure this out from my research, but how long were you with the Jane Collective and how far did you get in that process? Because it did end up morphing into like where the woman would actually perform the abortions themselves. How long did you stay with it and where did you end up in the process?
Well, I made the first connection in 1965. Mm-hmm. And I started to recruit other people into it in 1968. And by 1969, I had left the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the first doctor was Dr. T.R.M. Howard, and then he stopped responding to calls. I don't know if there was a police arrest or if he died or what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then, by the way, I thought he had died, but he didn't die. I found out later he was still living. And then I found another provider, and he's the person that I connected the women with, who I recruited.
Mm-hmm.
And then several things were happening. The so many women were coming through that he turned to them for additional help. And then they also found out that he wasn't a physician.
Mm-hmm.
Though he was very experienced and skillful at this. And they figured if he could do it and he wasn't a physician, they could do it. And he trained them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the women started to do the procedures themselves.
Yeah. So what gave you the initial idea to sort of name it Jane and like put the ads in the newspapers that were like, pregnant, need help, call Jane? What was the thought process for that like?
Well, the ads in the newspapers happened after I left.
Uh-huh.
So I was there. It was very, it was definitely not public.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can guess what they were thinking, but I don't really know for myself.
Yeah. Were you the one who had begun calling it Jane, or was it the ladies later
on? You know, there's two stories on it. I thought I was calling it Jane when I was living in a dormitory and told people to ask for Jane.
Yeah.
But the women who were in the collective group, they also think they named it Jane. And it was just after sort of a Jane Doe, you know, of what's the most anonymous everyday name for a woman. At that point, people would often say this is Jane Doe, you know, an unnamed, an unknown woman.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask sort of a question reflecting on more modern times. Like, what was your reaction to Trump's Supreme Court nominees and the Trump administration's open criticism of abortions and their attempts to prevent them in the U.S.?
Well, I think that if you prevent abortion, it means that you'll that some women will die from illegal abortions, that many women's lives will be stunted, and their options will be so much less. And I think in general, it reflected a Trump administration disrespect for so many people's lives that it, and particularly disrespecting and harming people who are poor or in need of social support. And that was shown in so many ways, whether it was on the cutting of certain social programs, immigration positions that he took, hostility to people who are in greater need in the society.
So why do you feel that accessible abortions are so important?
Well, first of all, at that time, I'll tell you then and now, at that time, if you were pregnant and unmarried, often you'd be thrown out of a house. There were many jobs you weren't allowed to have. In fact, for teachers, if you were pregnant, married or not, you often weren't allowed to teach if you were so-called showing, meaning if you were, if you looked like you were pregnant. And for being a flight attendant, I think there was an issue. You couldn't have children or be pregnant if you were a flight attendant. So there were limitations. You'd often be thrown out of school. And so it would harm your education, harm your opportunities in life, harm your chances, harm the life of the child you would bring into the world, because it might often doom you to a life of greater poverty without better financial possibilities. And then there were women for whom they already had children, and this was just one more child that they might not be able to support or give the loving care to that they wanted to. And these days, many of those issues still hold. There are with a growing wealth gap and with often declining wages. There are many people who, many women who just can't make ends meet, and suddenly you're unexpectedly having a child that you just can't afford to bring into this world, can't afford to care for, aren't ready to care for. And if we want women's full participation in the society, and we want women to come into their full possibilities as people, they have to be able to determine when or whether they have a child. And it's that language that was used when the Supreme Court was arguing Roe. The final argument was not for abortion. It was that women should decide when or whether to have a child.
So it should be up to the woman whether or not they're prepared or ready to have a child. And
yes, women should make this most intimate, most personal choice about their life.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was really great. Just thank you so much for doing this interview with me and allowing me to call you and ask these questions.
Well, good luck with your report. I look forward to seeing it. I'm glad you're interested in it.
Thank you.
I just sent you four pictures from that era.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not about Jane specifically, but it's pictures from around that time.
Yeah. Thank you so much for those.
Well, good luck. Do you want to hold on and just tell me if you get it, if it comes through?
Yeah, I think I have it right here recording, and I think it should be good. I've done this before, interviewing my grandma for a separate project, and it worked pretty well. So,
okay, great. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure. Do you want to just tell me if it's coming through?
Yeah, I'll stop.